Welcome to Crooners and Coffee Shops, everyone. My name is Heather. Today I have Clijon here to chat with us about his EP, his debut EP, as well as being an awesome instrumentalist. And Clijon, we would love to ask you how you got started in music.
Heather, thank you so much for having me. Super excited to be here and talk about what I'm doing. But yeah, so how I got started in music, I'm a fourth generation musician. My dad played violin, my grandfather played piano, my great-grandmother played violin, and kind of so on and so forth, all the way back to our roots in Romania. So when I was born, it was really less of a question of like what I'm going to play or like when I'm going to play. It's just like, I'm going to play violin. So I started when I was 2 years and 9 months old. My parents started me playing violin, and I started taking private lessons for the next 16 years. And during that time, I fell in love with the hip hop and trap culture that was surrounding me in Atlanta, Georgia, where I grew up. And I kind of just always had this dream of combining my classical background with my love and passion for hip hop and rap. And I went to school. I tried to kind of pursue this artist journey in college, and eventually was like, okay, actually, I'm going to, you know, focus more on school. And I got a business degree and used that to move out to LA. And I worked corporate for a few years doing marketing, actually, and eventually built up enough funds and also a big enough. I started posting on social media a lot more about my music stuff, doing violin and things. And eventually, 3 years in, after working corporate for 3 years, I decided to quit and pursue music full time. And over the past 2 years, I've been recording, releasing, distributing a bunch of original music and kind of posting all over social media and just growing a brand and performing around the country. And it's been an amazing, beautiful journey so far. I'm very, very, very blessed.
Yeah. And it's awesome to hear like your roots and stuff. Like you're almost like a prodigy in a way.
Thank you. It's actually so funny. Like it's such an interesting industry because like there's so much talent, obviously, in the music industry. And especially when it comes to instrumentalists, like there's hundreds of thousands of violinists that are actually like more skilled than I am. Like, and that's totally cool. It's the thing. It's like just skill level doesn't equate to, you know, creativity or artistry. And so I do believe I'm, you know, very blessed to have a great musical ear and great creativity. But I don't know if I guess in that sense, maybe I could be a prodigy just in my, you know, drive and creativity. But there's so many other violinists that are so good, which is just so cool because it's not a skill competition. You know, it's just an artistry thing. Like you don't have to be the best violinist to make amazing music. And I think that actually applies to a lot of different things too.
Absolutely. And I've been really enjoying the fact that there's kind of been like a spike in people actually recognizing instrumentalists. Like, I mean, you have Lindsey Stirling, yes, and then Travis Barker is like on every rock song now.
Yes.
So, and it's like, it's crazy to just like being able to see instrumentalists in the actual pop realm and being super successful.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's incredibly inspiring, and it just fuels creativity. I feel like it gives people who may not have had a voice before a chance to have a voice because traditionally, you know, instrumentalists stayed instrumentalists and kind of like we're in the background to vocalists and, you know, pop stars and everything. But now we're seeing a little bit of a shift and we're kind of focusing, and especially as we've spent the past 20 years focusing on DJs and turntables and clicking buttons, which is, you know, a craft in itself. But now we're kind of seeing a little bit of a shift more towards actual instrumentalism, which is fantastic and very inspiring for a lot of musicians, hopefully around the world.
Yeah. And it's interesting that you brought up how big DJs have gotten, you know, over the past decade and such. And like now it's going back to the roots of music where it starts with instrumentals and such. So it's funny how it kind of just like comes around in a circle.
It's fascinating. It's seeing music over even not decades, but millennia, like hundreds of years and even going way back. Like there's music is just the evolution of music over time is a beautiful thing to see because you do see some patterns. You do see things going cyclically and you see branching off and it's kind of just a wonderful Wild West.
Yes. The world of music. It's a beautiful journey. That's for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And speaking of your musical journeys, you're riding the highs of your debut EP, The Way I Fiddle. And it's such a breath of fresh air in a musical sense. Like we were discussing about instrumentalists and like how it's coming back to the roots of music and everything. So, and we love it. It's awesome.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. The Way That I Fiddle was my first EP I've put out kind of as a solo artist, and a formula that I'm honing in on, which is using my violin as a lead and also matching it with my vocals as a lead. So I'm doing songs where I have catchy vocal hooks and the violin takes over in the verses. Normally where there's a verse, you know, a chorus verse, the chorus will be my voice and I'll put violin underneath, and then the verses will be just violin and they'll tell the story. So that's what I did with The Way That I Fiddle. I wanted to come in. I was working with this producer who's credited to a lot of great trap artists. His name is Dela. I actually found him on Instagram, but we linked up and I came in and I said, like, this is what I'm trying to do. I told him the formula I wanted, and we, you know, made some trap beats right there in the studio that day. And I recorded some violins to them just to get concepts, and then came home and spent the next few weeks really thinking about like what I wanted to do with the music. So when I came in, I was like, I want three songs. I want three vibes. I wanted to tell a little bit more about myself as a person behind the artistry, because this is my first solo EP. So I kind of, you know, the three vibes I chose, I wanted like one fun, goofy, like where I could just like have fun and just do my thing, you know, kind of no holds barred, nothing else but just trappy violin turn up music, which is my kind of vibe. And then I wanted a party song, and then I wanted a song that had more like sexual undertones. So we made The Way That I Fiddle, and we made these three different songs, and it was cool because I got to write not only like the hooks and the choruses where I could, you know, use my words to kind of tell the story I'm trying to tell, but then I could also write these verses with just the violin. And that's a different type of writing, because you have to really hear and see something in your mind as you hear it, because you're not getting to listen to words to tell you what's happening. Like, I wanted the violins to tell the story of each song. So it was cool just writing and having to picture, like, as I was writing, what I'm seeing in my mind and how to tell that story with a violin.
Yeah. And I know you released music videos as well for some of the songs. And like, would you kind of say that when you were writing the songs that you were also kind of imagining how the music videos would be, or did they end up being different?
100%. Yeah. Like that helps me write, honestly, thinking in my head, like how, what I'm going to do for this. Oh, if I'm going to slide down the string here, there's got to be a part where I'm like whipping this, like drifting this car, or like doing something. Like, it's always in my head, because I do make, as you said, like music videos for most of my music, because the visual aspect of it is also very important to my artistry. And so, yeah, when I'm writing violin verses and leads, it's really helpful to see in my head like what I want to do as I'm playing them and recording the video for them. Definitely helps.
Yeah, it's so interesting to like hear the concept of how an instrumental song like comes to fruition and everything. It's so informative just like getting to talk to you about that.
Yeah, it's honestly fun. And I feel like I'm like still just so early and getting started with this. Like, I want to make compositions to all sorts of songs, like not just, you know, fun party sexual undertones. Like, I want to do everything with everybody, and it's just an exciting realm to keep kind of carving out and see how creative we can get with it.
Absolutely. And you actually have another single out right now called Let's Go, and then you have a collaborative single called Dreamer. And I wanted to ask you like how the composition and recording and even the marketing process has been similar or different between all of the works that you've done.
Yeah, that's a good question, because the two songs you chose right there, they have interesting backstories. They have pretty interesting backstories. The first one, Let's Go, I made that for a YouTube cover. So I wrote that in my mom's kitchen when I was visiting Atlanta. I was still at a corporate job at this time, but I was like in Atlanta to record a music video and I was there to make content too. So I wrote Let's Go and recorded the video there, and then came back and recorded the audio in my bathtub. That's actually where I was making music. My first year of like making music when I was still working this corporate job, I had a bathtub, you know, and I set it up as a recording booth, and I recorded Let's Go in there, and I posted it to YouTube, and, you know, it got like 600 views or something, and, you know, a few comments, which is great. But then, you know, just moved on. Nothing came about it. And it's funny because that song is the song that actually ended up blowing up on TikTok years later. And that helps actually catapult a lot of my career, honestly. And that's interesting, because then we get to Dreamer, and that's, you know, you find me now 2 or 3 years later from Let's Go, and I built a home studio in my living room at the time. And that's like where I got to record Dreamer, and I had, you know, actual equipment and an actual space that was treated. And so, yeah, I got to do that virtually as well, just send, you know, these audio files to the producer who made that song, Dreamer. So very different from Let's Go and doing it all in my tub and figuring out what was going on, because I was still, I had no idea what was happening or like what I was doing, honestly, 3 years ago, writing and recording Let's Go. But you know, that's the whole thing, is just figuring it out as you go. So that's the songwriting, recording, a little different there. And then the marketing. Yeah. I mean, TikTok was huge for Let's Go, like huge, gargantuan, like 3 million views, huge. And Dreamer, since it was a collaboration, more of another artist track, it's been more just social media focused and a lot less of a push, I would say, a marketing push for Dreamer than Let's Go, because Let's Go had that virality real fast. And maybe Dreamer will someday too. You know, you never know. We might start a TikTok campaign for it and see what happens. But it's definitely interesting seeing the differences between those two songs after a few years of working in music.
Yeah. And it's cool to hear kind of like the beginning stages of your career, and then 3 years later, Dreamer comes out, and like how different it all ended up being.
Yeah, for sure. And that was a song, you know, they came to me for that and wanted violin on it. I wasn't a part of like making that from the beginning, but it's, you know, it's a cool track and I'm happy to be on it for sure.
So you're known as the trap violinist. Great name. Hey, great moniker.
Hey, thank you.
Yes, yes. And I mean, it's very memorable. So
yeah, I feel like I got super lucky with that one. I remember the day I like looked up that username and it was available, and I was like, okay, like this is it. Like,
sign from the universe.
That's it. Like, I'm now going to be the trap violinist. And it's been that way ever since. And it's, I honestly think choosing that moniker has helped a lot, because like you said, it is memorable and I'm able to build a brand around it. So I'm very blessed. And I'm actually, this is kind of off topic, but because we're about to talk about inspiration, I'm seeing other instrumentalists who used to be blank the violinist are now changing their name to blank the trap violinist. And it's cool to see. Like, at first I was like, like, damn. But then I was like, wow, this is actually wonderfully rewarding, because being able to inspire people and give them the kind of inspiration that I've had from people like Lindsey Stirling, it's a wonderful, rewarding feeling. And it only cultivates more creativity in the art space, which is absolutely beautiful, in my opinion.
Absolutely. And like, wanted to ask you, what enticed you to kind of focus on having a strong instrumental aspect of your musical career?
Yeah, so obviously, like I said, Lindsey Stirling is a really big inspiration of mine. I've been watching her for, you know, over a decade, and I just saw what she was doing with pure instrumentalism, like nothing else but the violin. She turned this instrument that's, you know, traditionally very classical, very layered in the background, and kind of turned it into its own like lead voice, like pop voice that was kind of stepping into mainstream spaces that the violin has never done before. So that was obviously extremely inspiring to me. And I wanted to, you know, kind of replicate that success and put my own spin on it, obviously with hip hop and trap. But I also wanted to do it a little different. And that's why I'm kind of trying to incorporate my voice more and putting more of an emphasis on using my vocals with each song. And I'm going to be bringing in a lot more other artists like rappers and singers and stuff to come on as well. And it'll be more of a duet between the voice and the violin. But so it's the inspiration from Lindsey Stirling and also just the want to do something a little different. I wanted to, this formula, you know, of vocal hooks and violin verses is something I haven't seen really at all in the music space. And that's, you know, it's important to me to kind of do things that haven't been done before if I can, because, you know, that's a great way to get exposure and really show people that I'm not just following Lindsey's steps, but I'm also making my own path, which was important for me.
Yes, yes. And it's clear that you're passionate about it. And at the end of the day, that's what really matters to us as music listeners.
Yeah. And I just love the violin too. I think it's such a cool instrument. And as we're talking about the shift of, you know, it becoming more mainstream and more widely accepted, I just want to be a part of it. I want to be as much a part of it as I can and show just how versatile this instrument can be, because it's such a special one.
Yes, I give people props that can do violin, because I tried it in middle school and I am not a violinist.
It's so hard. It's so hard.
It's so hard. Difficult. So props to you. Props to you. Props to Lindsey. Anybody else who does violin or string instruments, I cannot do it. I appreciate
you can.
Appreciate
you can, though.
Art. I appreciate
you. You could. You could with time. I believe it.
I don't know. I think I killed some like hearing cells back then.
Oh, no.
So, I felt bad for my parents.
It's a tough one.
And I wanted to ask you kind of like a fun question, since you did mention that you wanted to, of course, collaborate more in the future. Like, if you had to choose three artists, like they can either be filmmakers, musicians, you know, visual artists, etc., who would you choose? And kind of like what kind of project would you want to work on?
Yeah, that's a cool question. Lindsay Stirling, obviously, at the top of my head, I would love to do like even just one single with her would be a dream come true. But even a whole album would be super badass. And then outside of Lindsay, Chloe Flower is another instrumentalist I'm definitely keeping an eye on and getting inspired by. She's a pop pianist who's been in kind of the spotlight in the past couple of years. She's been doing some great stuff in music. I'd love to work with her. And this producer who I've recently found called Johan Lennox. He's great. He works with a lot of like string compositions, and he's incorporating a lot of that into the hip hop and space as well. And so I'd love to work with him as a producer. And as far as, you know, videographers and stuff, Cole Bennett, he's done a lot of great work with big artists as far as like music videos and stuff. So I would love to work with him someday and make a really badass violin led music video. That's the cool, other cool thing about what I'm doing, like what Lindsay's done and everything. Like, since we are focusing on the instrumental aspect of things, I feel like we have more room to be even more creative with our visual art, because we're not having to tell the specific story necessarily with our words. We're able to tell it with the violin, and you can just paint so many different pictures with that. So it's really cool making music videos. Honestly, I love it so much. So Cole Bennett would be really cool guy to work with. So any of those guys.
And like, it's funny that you like bring up the music video aspect, because I didn't even think about that. Like, how much more leg room you do have to be creative and have these extravagant storylines in a way of visual aspects and everything, because you don't have the lyrics that you have to fit the storyline into. So it's great that you brought that up.
Yeah, I love it. We can do anything. We can go to the moon. We can play on a roller coaster. I don't know what I'm, but just anything. Like, the limits are endless or unlimited. Limitless. There it is.
Yeah. Where's our dictionary? Webster.
Yeah, somewhere.
Webster, where are you? Miriam. And if you could give your younger self any advice in regards to music or what you've experienced in life in general, what advice would you give him?
So what I always say, this is a great question, and what I always say is keep your perspectives open. I spent 16 years growing up and playing the violin, and I wish I could say that I enjoyed every second and I loved growing up and going to auditions and staying into practice instead of going somewhere with my friends or yada yada. But I struggled a lot with my joy in playing growing up. And I think a lot of that was because I was being forced to play. You know, I didn't really have a choice my entire childhood. And not only that, but I was being forced to play music that I didn't resonate with. And I think that's kind of a travesty that I spent so much time being like, oh, I don't love this. I don't enjoy this instrument. But it was really kind of what I was playing that I didn't really resonate with. Like, I was listening to Eminem. I was listening to Gucci Mane. I was listening to Travis Scott. And I'm playing, you know, Beethoven and Bach, which is amazing and beautiful and incredible. But it's just not what I gave a shit about. It's not what my friends gave a shit about. So it's like, if I could tell myself, you know, anything growing up, and I think this applies to so many things in life, it's to just keep my perspectives open. If I'd thought, you know, instead of playing Bach, why don't I try playing to, you know, Gucci Mane and try writing to these hip hop beats? Like, if I'd done that 10 years ago, I think I might have seen a little bit of a different trajectory in my music sooner. And I honestly would have spent a lot more years, you know, happier. So I would say just like keep your perspectives open. A lot of times, and I try to think of this too with any problem that arises, like we think of our problems as like, okay, this box, how do we solve it in this box? I think a lot of great breakthroughs come when you really try to think outside the box. So I would just say think outside the box as much as possible. Like, any limit you think is there, try to just think around it. You can solve a lot of great problems throughout life, and musically too. That's really how you can push the boundaries.
Absolutely. Words of wisdom. Seriously, it's so simple, but it's also very hard for people to actually do that. Go and think outside the box, have a bigger perspective and everything.
Yeah.
And wanted to ask you, what do you hope that your audience will take away from your music?
I make music based off what inspires me and what I experienced through my life. And just through my personal journey, I feel like I've built a lot of confidence in who I am as a person and, you know, what I've been through to get to where I am and all the hard work I've put in. So I want that to be inferred in my music. I want everything I make to inspire us to be kind of the best versions of ourselves. And at the end of the day, I want us all to be able to turn up to the violin. That's the dream. I want people to get to feel what I feel when I'm playing this and when I'm writing this. And I want the violin to be the tool that makes us feel those things.
Absolutely. And to kind of end off the interview portion, what other big exciting things should we be expecting from you in the near future?
Yes. So I am going to be doing a lot more collaborations with artists. So I'm super excited about, because I'm not going to let it be where I do a collaboration and the violin's like another layer in the background and you know, you barely hear it or whatever. Like, I want the violin to be just as much of a lead as any artist I'm working with. And the people I'm working with know that and they like that. So just be on the lookout for a lot of new collaborations in ways that you haven't seen before. I'm really trying to push these boundaries and give the violin this lead voice. And I'm going to do it more and more in hip hop and rap and trap. And I hope to see it more in the mainstream, working with, you know, bigger and bigger artists. And then outside of that, I'm still pursuing my own artist journey, doing a solo path. And I'm going to be releasing a lot of music. I'm building up and working on an album right now and a bunch of other projects as well. So it's just going to be a lot of new music, a lot of new collaborations, new music videos. Hopefully you'll be seeing a lot more of me around.
So excited. We can't wait to see where the journey takes you for sure.
Thank you. I can't wait either.
And where can everyone find you online?
Yeah. So find me on any streaming service under Clejan, which is Clejan. Got all my music on all iTunes, Apple Music, Spotify, SoundCloud, wherever you want to go. And then YouTube as well. Just search Clejan or The Trap Violinist and you'll get to see some cool music videos. And then as far as social media, my at is The Trap Violinist. So just search The Trap Violinist and I will pull up.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yay, we're excited.
Thank you so much. Thanks for the time, Heather. And thank you to anyone listening.
Yeah. And to go into our coffee shop appreciation portion here at Crooners and Coffee Shops, we love our coffee. And me personally, I'm a huge Disney fan. And I got to go to California Adventure to go to Avengers Campus. And there was some downtime and I was just like, I need some coffee. And there's a little cute little kiosk called Joffrey's Gourmet Coffee. It's like right on Pixar Pier. You get to see like everything and just relax and chill. And I was kind of expecting some Starbucks level sweetness. And I was surprised that I got real coffee on my iced cafe latte. So shout out to Joffrey's. Also, they have coffee cocktails, but I can't drink right now because of surgery, post-surgery. Mm. So next time, coffee cocktails, I'm ready. Zach, do you have any coffee shops that you would like to shout out?
Yeah, and I want a coffee cocktail now. That sounds awesome. So I would like to shout out Cafe Laurent, which is Laurent. It's in Culver City. It's a great, great, great place to eat brunch, go at any time to get some work done. Great staff, great food, great coffee. Also, I really want to check out the Nimbus Cafe. I've never been, but I'm like obsessed with Harry Potter. So I want to just shout them out and say, I want to come see you guys soon.
They're Nimbus so Coffee. Awesome.
You've been, yeah?
I also work at the Belasco Theater in downtown. And like cool. At the beginning, I was like taking the train, but I'm going to be driving now once I get back to work and everything. And Nimbus was on like the path to get to the Belasco. And I arrived early and I was like, I have time for some coffee. And I was like, what's this coffee shop? Holy shit, it's a Harry Potter coffee shop. Sold. So yes, please get a Nimbus coffee. They're women owned and they're black owned and they're
amazing.
They're so awesome.
Amazing.
Yes, yes. So many good places to shout out. Well, it was awesome to have you on here today. We're very happy to have been able to get to chat with you.
Thank you again. Thank you again so much.
Yes. I'm sending you all the best wishes, good health, lots of success. And to our listeners, stay safe out there, everyone, and stay caffeinated.